Thank God for the Lamb who was slain so that we could live forever and ever and ever through His saving grace. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for that. Amen. You know, today we celebrate a great victory. July the 4th, rather yesterday. This weekend we celebrate the independence of our country that suddenly came on the scene and rocketed to one of the largest and most powerful nations in the world. I want to tell you today, I serve a God that made this country what it is. And if we get God back where He belongs in America, America can still have a great impact on the world. But now, church, here's the problem. We now live in the third largest mission field in the world. And for that reason, we're missionaries, whether you like it or not. Because everybody around you is watching you to see if your God is what you say He is. And if we can show them the God that can change lives, we can see lives changed. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. I'm on page 329. If you're not on that page, see me after church. I got Bibles for sale that are just like mine. I'm in the book of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We live in a very perverse generation. We're seeing more and more people addicted to drugs, alcohol. Very large number of people are involved in all types of addictions, from the drugs, the alcohol, to internet pornography, to problems with addictions to other things in this world that they shouldn't be addicted to. We're seeing more and more people in depression. We're seeing more people with oppression. We're seeing families fall apart by things that are going on around us. We hear one preacher tell us the devil's going to wear us all out, and we believe it. I want to talk to you tonight about how to take captive your enemy. I think the greatest need in the church world is for Christians to realize you're somebody. You're somebody to be dealt with as far as the devil and his emissaries are concerned. You don't have to wait and see what he's going to do. You need to get busy and make him trying to figure out what you're up to. Hello? Come on, some of y'all going, wait, preacher, we ain't going to get into this. You'll have us all messed up. No. If we really understand how this works, we can overcome. We can put the devil on the run, and we can have real victory in our life. Amen? Come on, church. True victory doesn't come until you get to that point where you ain't afraid about what the devil's up to. You know he's out there. You just don't understand that whatever happens, I'm going to overcome him. Why? Because I'm in Christ, and Christ has overcome the world. Amen. So in him, I have victory and peace and power. Amen. Listen to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. And then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled at this thing. And he called his servants, and he said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house. Father, with the power of your divine grace, move on me and use me as an oracle of your presence. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, I'm beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. The king of Syria has decided to make war on Israel. He calls his generals together. He gets everything set. They got the perfect trap they're going to spring on the king of Israel. How many of you understands back in those days the best way to fight a war was ambush? I mean, they'd line up, catch them, come in between the hills where they could lock them in. They'd jump them and try to kill all of them they could before they went down and just straight up fight with them. Now, I know they'd actually line up and just charge into one another. It's one reason why the Romans was real good. If they ever got you in an open field battle, you were whipped because they understood how to fight that kind of battle. One of the ways that the Americans defeated the British was we didn't fight fair. They were used to lining up, shooting one another, marching into each other with their bayonets and having a big time. And we decided to show them how it was done country style. We'd hide in the woods and shoot them while they was going down the road. I don't know about y'all, but that made sense to me. It's kind of dumb to get in front of a guy with a gun and say, you shoot me, I'll shoot you, whichever one's left standing wins. I'm one of them kind of fellas, I'd just soon hide and win. Hello? Where'd we learn it? We learned it from the Indians. They taught it to us. We'd line up out there and they'd shoot us with bows and arrows from the woods while we're standing in line waiting to fight. So they figured out how to use it. The king of Syria was going to attack the king of Israel, and he set up his camp, got everything ready to go, and all of a sudden the king of Israel gets a message from a prophet of God that says, don't go to such and such a place. The king of Syria has set up an ambush for you. Now, church, let me ask you something. How much confidence do you have in a man of God that gives you a word and you got to check it out? Huh? If the man of God gives you a word, aren't you supposed just to accept it? And if you don't know whether it's a word or not, maybe you ought to find out why you follow the man of God. But the king of Israel, notice what he did. He sent spies to check it out, sent some scouts out there. And sure enough, they came back going, man, the Syrian army setting up there right where he said it's going to be. And notice he said not once nor twice, but several times the king of Syria set up ambush. Several times the king of Israel sent somebody to find out where they were. And several times he got away without having a battle. And now all of a sudden it gets to the point the king of Syria is starting to figure something out. Every time he sets up a place to make ambush, the king of Israel knows he's there and avoids the place. And so all of a sudden he calls his generals back together and he said, okay, fellas, which one of you guys is selling out the game plan? Which one of you is telling the enemy where we're at? Because got to be one of y'all telling it, because ain't nobody but the folks in here know what we're planning. And all of a sudden one of the guys looked up and said, sir, it's none of us. There's this prophet by the name of Elijah living down in Israel who tells the king of Israel what you speak in your sleep. Hello? In that one sense, and he tells you what you say in your bedchamber. In other words, when you talk in your bedroom, he's got it bugged. I'll be honest with you, church, when a fella can tell somebody what you say in your sleep, he's got you down pat. And he said, man, he's telling stuff you're talking about in your bedroom. And all of a sudden the king turned around and said, well, wait a minute. He meant if he's that important to Israel, I need to go find out where he is. I want him to come to work for us. Amen. You know, church, the truth of the matter is Elijah wasn't going to go to work for him. He was working for God. And God was on Israel's side. And church, can I tell you, some of y'all just sitting there looking at me and say, preacher, what are you talking about? You get close enough to God, I got a God that will begin to let you in on what's fixing to happen in your life so you'll know to pray and fast and seek for it. Come on, church. God's no respecter person. If he told Elijah to tell the king of Israel he is headed to a battle, if you're living close enough to God, God will start giving you warnings and letting you know something's coming. So you'll begin to fast and begin to pray and begin to prepare yourself for what the devil's fixing to throw at you next. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. I'm finna have to run down there and amen myself. It's going to take me a lot longer. We ain't never going to get somewhere to eat. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? All of a sudden, one of them said, we don't have to spy him out. We know right where he's at. We've been keeping up with him for months. Said he's down in Dothan. That's not in Alabama. That's Dothan's in Asia Minor. But it was one of the larger cities of that day. And he said, Elijah's down there. And if we'll go down there. And all of a sudden, the king says, I want you to send some folks to get him. Now, I want you to notice how important he came. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? See, this is what some people have a problem living for God for. Because they're afraid if they really sell out to God and get important to God, they realize they're going to become important to the devil. I'm going to tell you what gets me is when I see people that don't go to church regular, don't read the Bible hardly, don't pray, tell me, oh, the devil's after me. He's got you. He ain't got to go after you. You're there. If you're laying out of church and you're not reading the Bible, you're not praying, he's already got you right where he wants you. He ain't got to attack you. Come on, church. But we got, you ever notice there's folks like that that's always finding devils under rocks and everywhere else? I mean, they just all around them. You say, what are you getting at? Folks get sold out to God. We get to the point we ain't worried about what the devil's going to do. We ain't worried about what he's up to. We understand he's there. But can you understand this? If I know that I know that I know that the God I serve is on my side, that the God that spoke it all into existence on my side, that the God that could tell the devil to go and he's got to blow out of the presence is on my side, what have I got to worry for? if God be for me, who can come against me? When I understand that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, and I understand the word of God that said if I fall in God, God is going to lift me up, and the arrow by day is not going to touch me, nor the torment of night is going to touch me, nor the snare of the fowler is going to catch me. Why? Because I know in God I am an overcomer. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what makes you think he became important? Because notice what it said. He sent forth horses and chariots to go get him. Now, church, the Syrian army was always going out to fight. Can't you see one of them old gruff captains standing there and his men's marching down the road? This little kid comes rocking up to the parade that's going out of town. He grabs that cap and says, hey, y'all going to fight some Philistines? No, son, we ain't going to fight Philistines. Y'all going to whoop some Jews? No, we're not going to whoop no Jews. Well, where you going? There's this one fella down in Dothan. And we going to get him. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, you being silly. No, I'm actually telling you the truth. Because if you read the word of God, it said they encompassed that city. Remember what I told you? It's a large city. And they go down and they set up a perimeter around that city where nobody can get out. And now all of a sudden you got this great host sitting out there waiting on one dude. And he's got a ministerial intern by the name of Gehazi who ain't really up to snuff yet. He's still working on his ministry base. And he gets up early. That's how come I know he ain't no real preacher. Especially an evangelist. I told you this morning I used to shoot for 7 o'clock and it wasn't a.m. Glory. Hello. My whole day evolved around 7 at night. And I was up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't up early. Hello. One dude called me one morning at 6:30. I answered the phone. I said, hello. He said, you up? I said, I am now. Some idiot called me. He said, well, I was up. I thought you ought to be up. I said, well, hey, I'm up now. What do you want? He said, well, I just wanted to call you and let you know I was up. Now, y'all been around me long enough to understand that is a fatal flaw. Because that night I got in from Mobile, 3 o'clock in the morning. I went out in my office. I called his house. He got the phone, dropped it the first time. Never even got it to his ear. Hung it up. I called him back. I figured he ain't no fun at all. He got the phone to his ear, finally said, hello. I said, hey, you awake? He said, what do you want? I said, well, you want me up when I'm up? You're up. I want you up when I'm up. I said, I just got in. I thought I'd have a cup of coffee before I go to bed. I'll be over in a minute. And I slammed the phone down, ran out, got in the car. I could hear the phone ringing in the office as I was driving out of the yard. I went on to his house. I got in the front yard, got out. His wife come out the door. She said, get in your car. Get out of here. He won't call you no more in the morning. I promise you. You know what? He never did call me no more. He called me about 10 o'clock. Say, you're not in the bed, are you? I said, no. I get up long before now, but I'm not up at 6:30. Glory. Hello? I got some of y'all going, oh, God, I'm not calling a preacher early. Don't worry about it. I told you my whole system's changed. Amen. But, church, the reality is most evangelists, that's what Elijah was. He didn't have a regular church. He just run around city to city prophesying, preaching. He's got him a little intern working with him named Gehazi. This boy makes a mistake of getting up early. He goes out there. He's washing his face and hands. And all of a sudden he looks up and he starts looking and he's turning. And everywhere he sees horses. He sees chariots. He sees spears. He sees shields. He sees swords. He sees the enemy and he realizes they have come for us. And all of a sudden he realizes I've done lined up with the wrong dude. Hello? It's kind of like Custer at the last stand. Some of them fellas realized they was in the wrong army that morning. Hello? And all of a sudden Gehazi goes running in there waking Elijah up and says, my God, get up. You ain't never seen what's happening to us. Elijah gets up and he starts walking out the door, and about that time Gehazi's running beside him, and I can see he's still tore up. My God, they're going to kill us. They're going to drag us back behind the horse. They're going to wear us out. And all of a sudden Elijah stops and God, open up his eyes. And all of a sudden Gehazi starts turning around and he's looking, and he no longer sees Assyrians and chariots and horses and spears and swords and shields, but he sees angels standing in front of every one of them, because suddenly he realizes there are more for us than there ever was against us. Can I tell you, some of you need to have the prayer that Gehazi had, and somebody needs to make you realize there are more for us that could ever come against us, and that even if the devil brought every angel that fell out of heaven, they still outnumber 2-1, and the hedge of God is the angels that are around us. And if we're in that hedge in the will of God, then we don't have to worry about the harm the devil's going to try to bring to us. Elijah told Gehazi, let him understand there's more for us than against us. Don't worry, son, I know everything's all right. Could you say amen? Well, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. If he knew when they went to get the king of Israel, don't you know he knew when they left coming to Dothan? But he understood one premise. Number one, you got to fight the fight on your terms. Some of y'all need to quit letting the devil dictate the terms of the battle. As long as he can get you to line up fighting front for front and just take his blows, he's going to take you out every time. But when you start making him fight your way and doing it your way, because you're the one setting the tempo of what's going on. Come on, church. Hello? When I was in high school, now, church, don't fall out with me. I got to tell you stuff I know. That's what some of us old dumb country boys are stuck with. I played ball. When I was in basketball, the one thing I learned was if we set the tempo of the game, we could beat the other team. I used to hate to play county high. I call it country high. I used to hate to play them. They had a coach that thought if you could keep the ball as long as you possibly could, shoot it only when you had to, you could beat the other team. Well, we played on a fast pace. We realized that they were 12 of us playing, and if all of us played every ball game, we could run that other team ragged. And we'd actually start running from the opening bell till it quit. We played full court pressure on them. We tried to make them move with us and run with us. We'd play county high, and they'd lull us to sleep. They'd be passing the ball around. We'd be over chasing them all over the place. And by the middle of the second quarter, we was all dead and chasing that stupid ball, and they'd just stand around passing it. And we usually would beat them, but we wouldn't beat them by much. And I never forget, we were sitting over there one night, coach looked up and he said, boys, study this. We're using it next week. And I'm going, that's boring basketball. I don't want to play that. He said, you don't want to play this next team the way we do, because they're better at it than we are. We made the mistake of not listening. You ever been in a basketball game where you wished you was gone? I mean, the end of the second quarter, they were up 40 points on us and laughing at us, because every time they'd take the ball off the backboard, it'd hit two hands and go in the basket on the other end. And we're sitting there going, fellas, we in trouble. And the coach is going, I tried to tell y'all, you can't run with these boys. You got to set the tempo. We played them the next time. We slowed the ball down. We controlled the game. They got so frustrated and aggravated, half of them fouled out, and we beat them by 15 points and made it to the state playoffs. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I learned then that if I set the tempo, I control the game. And I want to tell you right now, some of y'all need to quit waiting and seeing what devil's going to do next, and you need to start setting the tempo with prayer and fasting and getting something going in your life so you can stand up to the devil and say, hey, I'm here. I come to take over. I quit taking your junk. It's time for you to understand we're fighting on my terms now, and my terms are greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Could you say amen? Oh. Elijah goes up and walks up to the general. He said, hey, who you looking for? He said, I'm looking for Elijah. Oh, by the way, he prayed before he went up there. He said, oh God, strike them blind. Every stinking one of them went blind, including the horses. He walks up to the general and said, who are you looking for? He said, we were looking for Elijah. Can you imagine that army standing there? They can't see nothing. You know they ain't in good shape. Fighting ain't even crossing their mind no more. Now, he did not lie to them, but he took them to where Israel's armies was. But he said, come with me and I'll show you where he's at. He's not lying, because he was in front of them. So wherever they were going, he was going to be there. And he leads them where the children of Israel was. Well, why did he do that? If you read the story, you'll find out why. He had to feed them. He didn't have a place to feed them. He knew the Israeli army had a tent set up to feed with. He carries them down there. Immediately took all their weapons, took them in control, and the king says, let's kill them all. He said, no, feed them. King said, feed them.
These guys have been wanting to kill us. It's just okay. Feed them. You ain't got to worry about it no more. I got it under control. They fed them. He said, give them their weapons back. Can you imagine the Israelis? You got to be kidding me. We've been fighting these guys since I was a kid. Why are we giving them back? They ain't coming back. Because you see, when you whip them good enough, they ain't coming for seconds. Come on, church.
You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Read the 22nd verse of 6th chapter. It said, and the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Hello? They came back later, but as long as Elijah was there, they wouldn't cross the border. Can you see the king of war? Let's attack Israel. Elijah's over there. He don't fight fair. We use spears, swords. We go blind. We fool with him. We ain't going back over there. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of y'all need to have demons thinking the same thing. Devil says, let's go to their house. You want it, you go yourself. Last time I was down there, they cast me out, tore me up, messed me up. I ain't going down there to fool with them. They're born again. They're real. Church, when that kind of stuff gets around, you're going to have signs of you up in hell saying, approach with caution. They're armed and dangerous. I don't know about you, but I want my picture everywhere down there. They understand he's prayed up on fire. And if you fool with him, he's coming out fighting because he ain't taking it laying down. And there's going to be a fight. Come on, church. South preacher don't work that way. You go to where I went to high school, ask somebody, they'll tell you. I had a reputation of fighting all the time. I probably didn't fight that much because most folks knew I would. Most of them knew they could whoop me, but they knew I'd fight. Matter of fact, sometimes I'd start it. Hello? I got that rep so folks would leave me alone. A lot of guys say, hey, don't hit him. He is back. I can whoop him. You might, but you can't kill him, and he's going to work on you. I made it more advantageous for them to leave me alone than to fight with me. Hello? I tried to make that same mentality when I got saved. I don't know about y'all, but the devil worked on me heavily when I first got saved. And I made up my mind, I'm not going to keep living like this. I'm going to get to a place where it's advantageous for him to go find somebody else. I'm going to get so strong in God, and I'm going to move in God so greatly that he's going to figure somebody else is an easier target. And the only time he's going to fight me is when it's necessary. And church, that's because God is using me and put me in a place where he understands I can stand the strain. If I got to go through the fire, it's not going to be because I'm weak. It's because God trusts me to make it through the other side. If I got to go through the valley of the fire, it's not going to burn me because God is going to be with me, because he will allow no temptation to come upon me but that I could bear. And the stronger I get, the more I'm going to go through because God trusts me to take it. Can I tell you, I've got to know where the battle is and fight it on my terms. Could you say amen? But not only that, church, Elijah understood when they topped that hill, the victory's already won. Hello? I said, what are you talking about? He understood, I got the God that's over all this. It doesn't matter who's coming. He's got it under control. Come on, church. See, that's the one thing some of us really don't believe. We say it, we talk it, but we really don't believe that our God has everything under control. Amen. We're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, or the day after, but I got news for you, friend. I really don't care what's going to happen tomorrow, today, or the next day, because I understand that I got it won either way it goes. Had a guy ask me one time, said, what are you going to do when Jesus don't come? I thought about it for a while, and I told him, I said, well, I really don't know. I said, but I can tell you this. I believe he's coming. He went in the other room. I walked in there a little bit, and I told him, I said, hang loose. I need to give you an answer. Church, the guy asked me a question I wasn't expecting to ask me. He was an atheist. Last thing I expected out of him was a spiritual question. He said, what are you going to do when Jesus don't come? I didn't have an answer for him. So I got mad at myself. That's the only kind of mad you can get and not have to repent. Come on, church, not yet. Get mad any other time. You done got to tell somebody you sorry. You got to repent over it. So why do it? Just get mad at yourself. Go on about your business. Usually you the one did it anyway. He looked up at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, let's take a break. He said, ain't break time. I said, this too. I'm in charge of the job. I called it. I said, you asked me what I was going to do if Jesus didn't come. I said, first of all, I believe he's coming. I don't think there's any doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and those that are looking for him will be caught up to the Lord in the air. I said, but let me tell you something else. I said, if he don't come, I gave up drugs, I gave up alcohol, I gave up problems, I gave up trials, I gave up tribulations, I gave up heartaches. I said, what I got is joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. What I got is a peace that passes all understanding. What I got is the knowledge that I know that I know that I know that I am born again. And if the trumpet of God were to sound tomorrow, if I stop breathing tomorrow, I don't have anything else to worry about. And I said, if Jesus doesn't come, I still want a lot more than I've ever lost. I said, but when he does come, I've got a forever and a forever in him that's going to last forever and forever. And I'm going to live in him in peace and joy and power the rest of my days. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I know that my God is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords. And I'm not worried about what Muhammad's going to do. I'm not worried about anything else in the world because I know my God's in charge. Hallelujah. Last but not least, I got to know the voice of God. You're kind of in a bad situation if you're serving God and you don't understand when he's talking to you. Hello? We got a lot of folks in church. I've had some of them come up, tell me stuff, say, God told me to tell you, and I know God didn't tell me that. He said, oh, yeah, look, so how you know? Because it wasn't with the word of God. If somebody gives me a word and it don't line up with the scripture, it ain't from God. And my Bible said, know those that labor among you. So I want to know a little something about somebody going to give me a word. I've gone to revivals and didn't know nothing about some folks. They start giving me a word, and I started worrying about that word. Hello? I need to know the voice of God. Somebody said, well, preacher, it's an audible voice. I've never had God speak to me audibly. You may have. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I've never experienced it. But I know when God speaks to me, and I understand his voice. Amen. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. You may have had the windows pop out of your house one night while God was talking to you, but I've never had that. I mean, I had a guy tell me one time that the shutters in his room started flapping and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, yeah, bed got to jumping. I said, I'd have been out of the room before he could have spoke. Glory. Hello? I'm just being honest. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night, my bed bouncing around, the shutters flapping. I'm out the door. We'll find out what it is later. Oh, some of y'all act like, I just lay there. Yeah, right. See, some of us is kind of like the fellow that he just wanted to know the voice of God so bad. He'd come home every morning. He'd go back there and he'd pray before he'd go to bed. He'd, oh, God, whatever you want me to do, just tell me, God, I'll do it. I ain't going to question it. God, just tell me. He's back there one morning, all of a sudden this voice out of the attic said, run 5 miles. He said, oh, God, I ain't run in years. I don't know if I can make 5 miles, but God, I'll do it if you tell me one more time. He said, run 5 miles. He got his tennis shoes on, run by his wife. He said, baby, I'm gone. God said, run 5 miles. Now, how many of y'all understand something? Somebody ain't been running, they ain't going far. I could start out in the parsonage, and when I got to the church, the paramedics would have to resuscitate me. He took off down the road, boy, he was killing it. He was going to run 5 miles. Oh, he was getting it. And about a mile down the road, he locked up. All of his muscles tightened up. He fell. He lost his breath. He's out. I mean, they're down there working on him. Ain't long. Somebody knocked on the door. His wife opened the door, and they got him. They got towels on him. They're flagging him. He's out there about half dead. They got him on the couch. Said, the paramedics are coming. We found him like this on the side of the road down there. Toes bunched up. Y'all ain't never had that happen. You just not experienced nothing. Glory. He kind of gets settled down. The paramedics got there and they said, my God, what are you doing? He said, God told me to run 5 miles. His neighbor got there and he was talking to him. He said, hey, y'all seen my parrot? The guy said, your parrot? He said, yeah, he plays around at the back of your house. He's bad about getting in your attic. He said, does that thing say anything? He said, all he can say is run 5 miles. That is a true story. See, church, you need to understand the voice of your God so you don't go chasing after everything that comes along. So you understand when God speaks. Amen. Because listen, if God says something to you, it's going to happen. Come on, church. God don't have to see if it's all right with the 420 elders. He don't have to see if it goes through the college of the saints or the angels of heaven. When God speaks it, it's his word. And when God speaks it, it will come to pass. Could you say amen? What was it Habakkuk said? It said, God said it. Though it tarry, it shall come to pass. I don't care if it takes a little while. If God said it, it's going to happen. If you just hang on to it, God's word is real. deal, and God's going to give us your word, and his word's going to come to pass. Could you say amen? If we hang on, it's going to happen. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You can take captive the enemy of your life when you understand that I'm going to fight this battle on my terms. I'm going to fight it the way God wants me to fight it. I'm going to get loose in God. I'm going to get the word of God in my heart, and when the devil shows up, I'm going to hit him with a haymaker called the word of God. When he says you can't have it, I'm going to say, my God said he will provide my needs according to all his riches and glory. When he says you're going to be sick, I'm going to say, wait a minute, by those stripes ye were healed, and in the grace of God I'm coming out with victory. And he says, oh no, it's not ever going to take place. I got a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that I could ever ask or think. And if I just understand the voice of God, I've got victory in my life through Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Some of you's got to understand the only way we're ever going to find real victory is to take captive the enemy and let him understand you don't operate here no more. Come on, church. Oh, it's not going to be fun, because he's going to be aggravated because he's used to doing what he wants to. But sooner or later, you got to tell him enough is enough. I've had enough aggravation. I had enough of your problems. I've had enough of your junk. I'm selling out to God. I'm going for God. And I'm fixing to wipe out your kingdom. And the best thing for you to do is get out of my face right now. Hello? Come on, church. You say, preach, I can't do that. You can if you understand who's behind you. When I was in high school, y'all need to understand, when I went into junior high, where I went to school, it wasn't these big schools like we got now. When I moved from elementary sixth grade to the seventh grade, I went to the same school the 12th graders went to. We was all in one place. Hello? I never forget, I started the schooling. My dad told my older brother, who was still in the 12th grade or 11th grade, he's 6 years older than me. He should have been gone, but he wasn't. He told him, he said, now you take care of your little brother. See, anybody jumps on him, you take up for him. We started to school, and we walking up the side of the road, and all of a sudden he just caught me up the back of my head, turned me a flip, and he said, you understand, you on your own, boy. Which I already knew that. I told you the other night, when I got in a fight, I didn't care if my brother showed up. It wasn't changing nothing. I got a sister who could mess up some heads, but my brother wouldn't do nothing. Glory. And there was one boy went to our high school. He was mean. Do y'all remember when you couldn't quit school till you graduated eighth grade, no matter how old you was? Well, if you turned 20, they made you go ahead and quit. Well, this boy was in the eighth grade, and he was 19 years old. He's in the junior high building with me, and y'all got to understand something. I was about 4 foot, 11, 5 foot, weighed about 70 pounds. I had the mentality of a chihuahua. Those of you don't understand that, if you ever had a Rottweiler with the same mentality, ain't nobody ever going to leave the house because he'd be gnawing legs off and everything else. Chihuahua will bite all over you, just can't get their mouth open big enough to do it. Oh. And I was like a chihuahua. I had one or two friends. Everybody else was my mortal enemy. I got to school, and it just so happened that the eighth graders had the lockers right next to the seventh graders, and I was on the end next to the eighth graders. Guess who's on the end of the eighth graders? That 19-year-old eighth grader that everybody's scared of. And church, I'm telling you, it's bad. He got caught smoking at school, and the boy turned him in. He threw him in the vat where they let the water out, where they washed the dishes and scalded his legs, where he come back to school on crutches. We talking about a bad guy. We ain't talking about somebody that's just going to slap you around a little bit. We talking about a guy that hurt you. He didn't care. He figured the worst thing they're going to do is make him go back to school. I get there, and I walk up trying to open my locker, and I'm having trouble with that stupid combination. My first day. All of a sudden, he walks up, just reaches up, slapped my books out of my hand. I didn't even look to see who it was. I just popped him. Seemed like the thing to do. Do you know they suspended me for getting both my eyes blacked? That boy beat me like a stepchild. I looked like a raccoon the next morning. My eyes swollen up, black. I mean, he beat me bad. My only recourse was a teacher coming to home and got him off of me before I died. And I was wondering when she was going to show up. And she was 4 foot 11, weighed 400 pounds. She walked up there and she said, you can get off here right now. And he didn't move. She kicked him. She didn't care about no laws. She was mean. I remember one time she came in the boys' restroom for me, hooked her finger in my ear, and I followed her down the hall, and the guy said, why'd you follow? I said, because I didn't want to lose my ear. And the way she was locked down, she wasn't stopping. If I did, my ear was coming off. My daddy had to go with me to get me in school. I get back to school, and they say, well, you can stay. My daddy signs a release form, and he gets ready to leave. He goes to the door. He said, stay out of trouble, boy. I'm like, he's right yonder, Daddy, by my locker, waiting on me. My daddy left. I go walking up to my locker, and he's standing there, and he said, you know I got to hurt you. I'm like, you already did that. He said, I'm serious. We can't have this. You're messing up my reputation. I can't let you get away with this. You got me suspended. Church, that guy beat me like a stepchild. How did I get him suspended? About that time, he reared back his fist and swung, and when he swung, I closed my eyes, and I suddenly went backwards, and I'm thinking, God, I didn't even feel that. It was so hard. And suddenly I heard a smack, and I opened my eyes, and there was a hand between me and him, and it caught his hand in midair, stopped it dead still. And what I went backwards for was because my dad had grabbed my shirt, jerked me backwards, and stepped between us holding his hand, and he just, like an old boy, went down on his knees. And he's standing there looking at him. He said, that's my son. I don't care what you do to anybody else in this school. You ever touch my son again, I'm going to kill you. That's all I got to say to you, boy. You ain't got to worry about no hospital bills and nothing. You're going to be dead. He bent his hand back a little more, made him bow over, and finally said, do you understand what I'm saying? He said, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He turned him loose. He said, I see you. He goes out the door. I'm standing going, hey, whoa, whoa, he's still here, you know. Do you know that dude never messed with me no more? I even pushed him. I knocked his leg hooks out of his hand a few times. He said, you better quit. But he had never raised a hand to me because I still had a daddy out there somewhere, and he knew he was there. Come on, church. Smile at me. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I got saved, and I realized I got a daddy who's out there, who is a lot stronger than that other daddy, who has the same mentality my daddy had. I'm his child. You fool with my child, you're going to fool with me. And I got news for you, honey. When it's that way, you got to understand. Satan understands who your daddy is. And if your daddy is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, he ain't coming against you because he understands I got to deal with him, and I don't want to deal with him. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what you talking about? You can take captive your enemy. You can have victory in your life. You can have that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And it all comes when you understand my God is a great God, and I know his voice because I communicate with him regularly, and I can have victory in my life. Would you stand with me all over the house? Church, would you raise your hands and just praise him tonight? Father in heaven, I believe you, Lord, for your glory, for your power, for your anointing. Holy Spirit of God, set your people free tonight. God, in Jesus' name, move on us with your authority, with your power, with your grace. Hallelujah. 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 Right now, the Spirit of God's moving in this building. I know it's Sunday night. Some of you are already ready to go. But I feel like there's somebody here tonight I've been speaking to. You've been having some tormented times. Things have been going great for you. Financially, spiritually, physically, you need a deliverance. Satan's convinced you things are never going to change. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can take captive your enemy, and you can see victory in your life if you sell out to God and to his word. Hallelujah. You're here tonight. The Spirit of God's moving on you. You know God wants to touch you. If you'll head to this altar tonight and say to God, enough is enough. I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to have some victory. I'm ready to overcome. My Lord, if you'll do that tonight, I got a God going to set you free. I got a God going to give you a peace like you've never known peace. I believe you're going to sleep tonight like you hadn't slept in a long time. Come on, let it happen tonight. Come on, somebody ought to step out. All of you's got all the victory. You can stand, just stay where you are. But if you need God to do something in your life, spiritually, physically, financially, you need a miracle tonight, you ought to be in the front of this building tonight. You ought to be saying, I fought this battle long enough. I'm ready for some victory. I'm ready for the peace that only God can give. I'm ready for God to touch my life. I'm ready for God to set me free. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I've been battling some things, but I got a God going to give me victory tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Now, church, those of us not already up here, will you come stand behind your brothers and sisters, help us pray for them tonight? We're going to believe God. God's going to touch them. Come on. Let God have his way tonight in Jesus' name. Romans, the 16th chapter, 20 verse. Say that I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. That means it's not hard for God to subdue the devil. Problem is, keep you on his head. Hello? Isn't that what the Bible said was going to happen in Genesis? And he shall bruise your head. Aren't we part of the body of Christ supposed to be bruising the head of Satan? And if God put him under our feet shortly, don't you think we ought to stay on his head and dance a while before we walk off? So if you get victory, don't give up tomorrow and say, oh, well, wait a minute. Glory. He'll talk you out of it. Huh? He'll make you think nothing happened. You just got excited. What you got to do by faith is say, it happened. I got victory. Consistency. Faithfulness. God never told me I had to whip the world. I just got to be faithful to him and be consistent in him. And if I do that, I'm going to overcome the world, because he has already overcome the world. Hallelujah.